Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could come together and worship you. We thank you for the different things that have been shared here. I pray that you'd help those that are in school and doing labs, that you would make it so that they understand what they're doing and learn and remember it. Help them with their tests to have recall and be able to know what the things they learned were. I pray that you would help Brother Steve as he's still looking for a job that would use his degree and his tons of experience, that you would just bless in that way. And if those blessings lead towards Hawaii, then that would be just fine with him from what we hear. So I pray that you would do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It would be fine.
All right, so we were in lesson 10 last week. And we did.
I think it's funny that we're just talking about Hawaii. I've written in here, future desires are based in our imagination, but our imagination is far more generous than our reality. Like, that's exactly what I've just been going through.
Yeah, that was one of the main points last week. So, which of these verses did I give you for memory verse now? Because now I think I gave them both to you.
No.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
Yeah.
2:9, okay. Good, because for part two, today's, I was going to give you 2 Corinthians 10:5, but I just couldn't remember for sure what I said last week. All right, so let's go through, since at least one person has a book, and let's make sure we fill in the blanks. Roman numeral 1, God's design of my desires. Yeah. Part A, desires could be misleading you and setting you up for disappointment. One of the things we talked about is that your future desires are based on your imagination, and your imagination is far more generous than reality, which is what Stephen just reminded us of. And then part B was desires will change. And that can be true in many ways. When I was a little kid, I was pretty sure I was going to be an astronaut. Then I didn't have good enough vision and I couldn't get into the military at all. And that's not the only way to become an astronaut, but that is the premier way to become an astronaut.
Even then it's really tough.
And I didn't very much apply myself because I just felt like school was easy and boring, so I quit trying. And so I didn't have the grades to become an astronaut at all. It's okay, that's not what God had for me. So after that, I was pretty sure I was going to be a fireman. Well, the same physical things that keep me from being in the military would keep me from becoming a fireman. I still have flat feet. So I had all these desires or dreams, if you will, but they change. And God always has something better than what you had in mind, because he knows you better than you know yourself, and he knows more about what you want than you know for yourself. Alright, part C, the best life is when your unique identity meets your life's calling dash God's will. All right. Part two is Roman numeral two is God's extravagance versus my feeble imagination.
Is feeble two E's or EA?
Two E's. Well, three total, but two together.
Wow.
Listen to this. Many young adults are scared to death of these two words, God's will. Let me ask you, are you scared of the following words? Surprise birthday party? Summer vacation? Christmas morning? Graduation gift? If you are, then you need more help than we can give you. You should leave immediately and go and check yourself into the psych ward.
Sometimes surprise birthday parties can be overwhelming.
Yeah, I guess.
But the rest of those are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what do you think the Bible says about imagination?
Well, in our new memory verse, it says we should cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It says that about imagination.
So we should cast down imaginations that are vain. What else do you think the Bible says? Let's step back a little bit. What's the difference between... and I'm going to shoot myself for this because I'm using the wrong words. Dreams and imagination.
Dreams we don't really have control over.
Like what your dream job is.
Oh, I thought you meant like sleeping dream.
Well, and that's the problem. When you look up dream, there's no second definition for what you want to do with your life. Right? The dictionary just says, these are the images you see when you're asleep.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was weird too. I didn't see the other definition in there. So then when you look at imagination, I believe I still have it on my screen.
Get out their device.
No, I... I have imagination open. The faculty of imagining or forming mental images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. The action or process of forming such images or concepts. So, dreams, as Steve said, are sometimes not things you have control over. Although, I will tell you that you can shape your desires. I have a friend who drives an Infiniti G37, and he keeps it all polished up, and it's beautiful, and he goes out to lunch every day, and several times he said, hey Sam, you want to go to lunch? I'm like, no. Number one, if I go to lunch, they only go places like McDonald's and stuff like that, so I'll eat something bad. Number two, if I start going riding around in fancy sports cars...
What kind of car was it again?
An Infiniti G37. Basically like a 370Z. So if I start going riding around in fancy sports cars, I'm going to start thinking, oh, I need a fancy sports car, right? And as it is, I like my minivans just fine because they carry my people. So if I don't go digging around on car websites or looking at cars and those kind of things.
I just looked one up too, and I didn't find the
something that you have wanted very much to do, be, or have for a long time.
Yeah,
but I didn't find. I looked up one too, and I didn't find it.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, which was kind of my point. But I was sure if I looked up in the dictionary, it would say exactly this and refute my point. So
I like this iWord.com/dictionary. It's a word using for the spelling bee, and then like it pronounced the words for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are words I didn't know how to say, like inchoate.
So let's look at what the Bible has to say about dreams. I need someone to find Genesis. Someone else to find Jeremiah.
I'm already in Genesis. So.
Okay. Jen, if you go to Jeremiah.
Okay.
Yes, Jen.
Jeremiah.
Start in Jeremiah 3. Start in Genesis 6. Stephen. Neat. Deuteronomy 29:19. Deuteronomy 29:19. All right, let's start with what God says first in Genesis 6:5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
So what does God refer to imagination as?
Our thoughts.
The thoughts of their heart. And what kind of thoughts are in the heart?
Evil.
Continually evil. Mm-hmm.
Evil continually.
Yes. So, imagination in that would be good or bad?
Obviously bad.
Obviously bad. All right. Genesis 8:21.
Says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. So again, evil from his youth, imagination.
Imagination, evil from his youth, bad. Okay. Deuteronomy 29:19.
And it shall come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst.
So this is saying that when you are thirsty, instead of just getting some water, you go and get drunk. Because of your imagination.
Well, that's interesting because when you get drunk, it actually dehydrates you. And so that the Bible was able to point out that it's just making you drunk and not even quenching your thirst.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Again, imagination, bad. All right, Jeremiah 3:17. Now it
starts to... At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart.
Imagination? Evil. Okay, 7:24, Jen. There's a bunch of them in Jeremiah.
Okay.
If it makes
sense. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward.
Okay, again, imagination tied to evil. 9:14.
But have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them.
Their imagination takes them after false gods. And they got their imaginations from?
Father.
What they grew up watching.
In their heart.
Yep. Did we do 11:8 yet?
No.
Okay.
Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. Is that it?
No, there's another one. 13:10. I just can't read my own writing.
This evil people, which refuse to hear thy words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be this girdle, which is good for nothing.
So imaginations are good for nothing. All right. And then 18:12.
I think it's good to point out that it didn't turn out so good after Jeremiah said all this, no one listened to him.
Yeah.
The Lord of 18:12?
No, we're going to Jeremiah 18:12.
And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone to the imagination of his evil heart.
So all of his warning about imaginations, and their response was? We give up. We're just going to do what we want to do anyway.
Sounds familiar.
Walk after our own imagination. Know anybody like that? Let me ask a different question. Do you actually know anybody who's not like that?
No.
Very, very few. So let's look a little deeper. If we go to Romans chapter 1, we can all go there. Actually, down the device, get out the book. I like Romans a lot. I have a study on Romans I've been through twice. I want to start it again with this one.
Yes, I need to do it. Jeremiah has done it, and I haven't done it. How long is it? Like 18 hours or something?
It's 17 messages, and some of them are an hour and a half, and some of them are 45 minutes. Starting in verse 16, there's a lot in Romans. The problem is every time I read a verse around the verse I was looking at, it just grew in scope. So I've shrunk it back down to about 10 verses. But it's still a big chunk. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So just remember, he's starting out talking about the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He's now tying faith in Jesus to the Old Testament prophecy that the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. He's talking now about the Jews. And then, in larger scope, everyone who he has revealed the truth to in their very being. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So everyone is without excuse. They should understand that there is a God because he planted that information in them when he created them. And then verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools because of their imagination, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And we can go on and on and on. All the cascading results, which is the world we live in today, of what happened when man, who God put a knowledge of himself into, didn't follow that and didn't recognize him for God, but chose instead to follow their own imaginations. And the cascade is terrible. Uncleanness, lust, dishonor, changed truth of God into a lie, worshiped the creature rather than the creator, gave him up to vile affections. It just goes on and on. A reprobate mind, being filled with all unrighteousness. It started with them using their imagination and choosing to follow that rather than God. So let's step back and compare that to our day-to-day life. Do we have, in our everyday purview, someone like Jeremiah who is proclaiming, don't follow your imaginations, seek out God's will for your life and follow it?
Yeah, Pastor.
What about guest speakers pastors had with us? Oh, wait. We just did a three-part message on what is God's will. Right? What about, do we have someone like Paul who is saying to us, this is where it starts. Don't follow your own lust. Don't make your own choices. Follow God. Yeah, not only do we have pastor preaching it, we have God's word. We can go read it. We can study it. There is so much. We read that. We talked about like two or three little points out of those 10 verses. But if you look at Romans deeply, it is so packed full and interwoven with all kinds of messages and applications and truths that we can apply to our lives. That even though I've got this, I told you it's 17 messages, probably 20-something hours of preaching. And I've been through it a couple times. Both times I listened to it, it was like, eye-opening. Wow. Didn't know that was there. Wait, rewind. Say that again. Right? Over and over this happens. And then the second time I went through it, it was still the same thing. It wasn't like, yep, I've heard this. We're good. It was crazy. And that's just one man who studied it, preaching it. If I were to study it for myself with the Holy Spirit in me to the level that man studied it, the Holy Spirit would reveal more things to me that apply to my life. So we have all of these resources to consult, so we don't need to make anything up in our head. The other thing is, what we talked about last week is, your imagination is very generous, and when you imagine something, and then it finally happens, it's not...
It's a letdown.
It's a letdown, because you're like, well, that's over now. Like we told the kids a year ago or so, we're going to Legoland. And we planned the trip, and we told them we were leaving, and they were all excited. And you get to the end of the trip, and it's kind of like, oh, well, that's done.
We didn't feel that way.
No, but it wasn't a letdown at Legoland. It was just, I know as a kid, I would build things up, and then it would happen, and it would be great. But it wasn't always what you build it up to be.
I actually go out of my way not to tell them when we're doing things, so they can't. So they can just enjoy it when it happens.
A lot of times they'll know we're preparing for something, we're loading the car to go somewhere in the day or whatever, and they'll say, what are we doing? Going in the car. They can't make anything out of that, right? Because if we get halfway down the road and it downpours, we're not going to go spend the day at the Desert Museum, right? We're going to go somewhere else. And rather than have them be disappointed or have them build it up or have them ask 82,000 questions or whatever, we just... Do you think God does that with us?
Probably.
Doesn't give us a whole bunch of information?
Well, and it talks about that in Corinthians. That's what we see in part.
Mm-hmm. We see dimly. What about a choice we could make? Could we actually choose, rather than seeking out our imaginations or following our imaginations or thinking of something we want and then imagining how great it will be, could we make a choice to look for or do something different? Could we spend that energy and those brain waves or brain cycles or whatever you want to call it, could we spend it another way? Could we maybe spend it in God's Word and in prayer? Rather than sitting around on the couch all day daydreaming about how great it will be when ABC happens, can we just get in God's Word and seek out what He wants for us for those 10 minutes? And when you add together the amount of time you spend imagining what great things are going to be, there's a lot of time there you could have spent doing something else. If you're invested in God's Word and in prayer and in trying to know what He wants you to do and be close to Him, then instead of sitting around imagining things all the time, He'll be dragging you from Legoland to Disneyland to Disney World to Sea World to Christmas morning to the next vacation to summer break, right? And you'll just be along for the ride enjoying it. Rather than building it up and being let down, rather than worrying and fretting about it, rather than hoping for it,
those types of things,
it'll be whatever God has.
Perceive it that way because you're in God's will.
You'll have the joy that you're looking for when you're imagining. I'm not picking on this. Moving to Hawaii, or graduating school and just having a normal job, or whatever it is that you're looking forward to as the next step, or the next big fun thing, or summer break where you get to sleep all the time and then you get a job working nights. Oh, what a letdown. How can you have summer break if you sleep all day and work all night? I mean, that would kind of be a downer in some ways. And especially if you have crazy housemates. Yeah. Then you wouldn't get any sleep while they're home all day.
They box a lot. Just like being in the room.
Shocked.
So let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians 10:5 and see what we can come up with here. I think we probably already touched on it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, So get rid of imaginations, but instead pursue the knowledge of God. How do you know what God wants?
By praying and reading this.
Mm-hmm. How do you get close to Jesus?
Same thing.
Reading and praying. Mm-hmm. Put this in your head when you think about trying to be close to the Lord. The book of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, but without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and His life was the light of men." If you put that in the place of, I want to be close to God, God calls Jesus the Word. God calls the Bible the Word. We have. We don't have everything. There are things Jesus experienced when he was on earth that he probably didn't write about. There are things he's seen in heaven that I'm sure he didn't write about. There are things he has planned for us he probably didn't write about. But we have everything he feels like we need. Everything he feels like we need. Right here between two covers. Spend less time imagining how great it will be when, and more time seeking what he wants. And then when he starts taking you from thing to thing in your life, it will be just like if your favorite thing is summer vacation. It'll be just like summer vacation all the time. I mean, imagine the guy who likes going on youth activities and grows up and becomes a youth leader. Now he gets to pick where all the activities are and take all his friends there and take his wife and kids there. And he's constantly on a youth activity. Right? I mean, if that's what that guy liked, God picked a fun thing for him to be. I'm not sure I would want to be a youth leader, but...
Always bring deodorant sticks just in case.
What?
I said bring lots of deodorant sticks just in case. Pass yes. It around.
There was always an odor in the junior high room.
Yes. Yes, there was.
You got used to it after a while.
You just walked in and you're like, yeah, we're back. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 for our memory verse. I guess we should read the second half of it. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this says, cast down imaginations and bring all your thoughts into captivity so you can obey God. So get control of what is spoken of in the Bible as your imagination that's evil, and turn your thoughts around into obedience of reading God's Word and praying. And if you can replace some of the time you spend imagining how great things would be with actually growing closer to God, then things will be even greater, whatever those things may be. But you're not setting yourself up to be let down. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the things that you teach us. Pray that you'd help us to follow the instructions herein that we've read this morning and stay away from just imagining things and start putting things into action by taking our thoughts into captivity and drawing closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a fast 5 minutes. There's a Mickey on your keys.
Yep.
I forgot his stickers again. That's okay. He'll be back. He says he has Mickey Mouse stickers for dinner.
What's
Mickey Mouse.
Oh.